Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
My name is Caleb. I am playing,
Sorry,
my mic cut out, like, right before that, and all of a sudden it, like, powered on, and it was like, Caleb. It's like, oh, fuck.
In no particular order is Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Atata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian, level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Beleg Dagar, and I am a Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter Orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tehuman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Chris Blick.
Oh, Chris Blick.
Dust off that D20 to recap, folks.
Whew. Ooh, 12.
It's a 5 18. For Beleg.
First team.
I got Ooh. 3.
You got 3? Yes.
Steve's not too.
Caleb, can you remind us what happened last time on Dungeons and Blackguards?
No.
Who did it last time? Tomo did it last time.
Yeah. All I'm gonna say is we're about to have a duel, so we are doing a quartermaster duel is about to happen, and I think like Nafri's still in the Hurt Locker, which I think should be in the name of the pub. I think. That is like the focus of this episode.
A succinct would be an understatement. Nafri and the Hurt Locker, it is probably the other big thing. Where we left you was back in front of the White Chain. Yes, you'd returned. And anybody else got anything to add as you stand outside here of your establishment? Yeah, now the name is, the great names are really flying around for this place. What else, guys?
It's about noon right now, right?
Oh, yeah, time-wise, exactly. Coming up on noon. And yeah, time is definitely one of the factors that you've been considering, over your travels today.
Steve, you did a humanoid hunt for inside the White Chain, right?
I took a minute to check things out and found that there is something. We were left at like a cliffhanger, I suppose, but I was checking out what humanoids were inside the chain.
Detect humanoids, and you've been sitting there for a minute, and you had unsettling news.
Yeah.
Right. Inside, Steve, you sense 5 humanoids. 3 on the bottom level.
So the main room?
The main room. Maybe one of them you sense sort of, you know, moving halfway up. But remember, there's that big staircase that leads from the bottom to the second floor here. And then you would, of course, sense in up there in the Hurt Locker your 2 captives.
Would I be able to tell what race they are here? I know certainly the 2 upstairs are going to be humans.
Yeah, so as you concentrate, can you roll a d6?
That's a 1.
You would account for Shorva. You feel like the little lady Shorva seems to be the manager, the general manager maybe, with the clipboard. You feel like she is a halfling, tall for a halfling, but maybe a halfling, or maybe she's... Anyways, you're able to kind of detect her, but you can't really account for who these other pings could represent.
I'm going to then make Stolas appear in the rafters inside the white chain, because I can portal him in, I think 30 feet away. So I want him in the rafters of the white chain's main room.
Well done.
Yeah. That's my buddy. Birds of a feather. We have fun.
Birds of feather.
It's Stolas.
All right, is Stolas the owl familiar here is going to vortex in. Where would you like to put him? Kind of mirroring where you are, standing on the outside of the front doors to this building, or sort of deep and into the rafters in that main area above the grand staircase with that big chandelier?
Well, I want him to be able to have sight of the three. So I know I want to find out who the other two are. So I want him to appear 30 feet away from me in a place that he can get a better view of things.
Okay. And all of a sudden, you're inside with Stolas. Vision. Can you roll a perception, Steve?
Through Stolas?
Yeah.
Sweet. I sure can. That is a 22.
Oh, fuck.
Well, there's Porco, the woodworker working on part of the bar near the western side of the building. And there's Shorva on the midpoint of the grand staircase there at the little concierge desk. And there is a well-armored, very tall, cloaked in brown soldier or guard. And he is standing motionless. And in fact, so is Shorva. And Porco is tapping very gently on whatever piece of jointery he's working on. And then further into the back, you see, oh, that's that half-orc worker who was called in yesterday for your lunch or whatever with the mayor. And he seems to be arranging tables off in the eastern dining area.
Wait, is that six people?
Well, there's two up in your safe.
It's the VIP room.
Yeah, the VIP.
And then there's Porco, Shorva, tall hooded figure, and the half-orc?
That's correct. And Steve, as you convey the head count to your compatriots outside, the noon bell tolls, this huge bell. We've never really seen where this bell is coming from. Must be maybe deep in the temple quarter because it's quite loud when you hear near the White Chain and the Temple of Dan. It tolls, and that is the noon bell. The doors here have not been opened, but you guys are all just standing within 5-10 feet of the front of your establishment.
Well, I definitely let everyone else know that there's a guard in there. Or at least someone in a brown cloak.
Oh, we outnumber him. Let's go in.
Classic Rook.
and the guard is simply just standing there. He's not really up to anything. He's just kind of waiting for something, I guess.
He's doing nothing.
Let's do it. I'm going to roll head on through the front door.
Action.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yep.
No, I'm just going to... What am I dressed as right now? Guard, right?
Steve and Beleg, last check-in. You were
we're both guards.
Guards of the castle watch, but now in front of the White Chain with your party as it normally is, you know, you tell me, what are you looking like?
I think I want to go in as Beleg. What about you, Steve? Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm Steve's fine. That's himself. He's just a little poncho kid, so.
Yeah. If it's a brown cloaked guy, it would be Nafri's personal guard.
Yeah, definitely.
So so I think Nafri not being here and just getting rid of that guy would be good. Or killing him, as Rook wants to do.
Okay, Rook, you have the key and you open the door there.
We shouldn't kill him.
Yeah. So, as the door opens there, Rook, you're standing face to face with this guard just, I don't know, mere paces away.
What can I do for you, sir?
Where is Nafri?
I haven't seen Napri since our lunch.
Voice for a guard.
All I remember is Napri at our lunchtime, and then meeting, and then he took off. I haven't seen him since then.
Where is Napri?
I just told you.
This guard here now turns to Shorva, and can you roll perception, Rook? Steve, can you roll stealth?
Yep, I can roll stealth.
And as you survey the room, Rook, you'll now get eyes on this fairly...
16.
Okay. That is a natural 20 plus 6. So do what you want with that one.
So,
just melted into the floor.
Rook, as you survey the room, Steve, the shadow of Steve, just brushes past through your cape. And... He's gone against this small pillar, against the doorway entrance. But, Rook, you take note of this fairly recognizable half-orc worker helper from the other day. He's moving chairs around, but he looks awfully nervous. And what'd you get? 16? Yeah, with your 16, you look at Shorva, and she is almost as motionless as this guard standing in front of you. He is almost pivoting 360 degrees around, and then comes back around to look at you.
Where is Napri?
Napri's not here, and I haven't seen him since the lunch meeting that we had. Now, if you don't mind, I have something to do in about 3 hours here. This is our establishment, so if you don't mind getting out of here so I can attend to what I need to do in the next 3 hours.
We were summoned. Bye, Napri. Where is Napri?
God damn it, Dad.
I don't know. Now leave.
This not here. Person, and he's got a helm on, which obscures most of his face. This person is unflinching, Rook. He is not obeying your command. You could roll intimidation.
I'm going to flash up my sweet sword of the quartermaster and say... I'm your new quartermaster, and I'm telling you, Napri's not here. Now leave my establishment so I can attend to my affairs.
Oh, nice. Well, why don't you roll a persuasion? And persuasion, that'll make use of your +2 charisma on that sword, no?
Yeah. +2 on the sword. And what else? So that's a 16. 14 +2.
And so as you hilt flash Bergen's blade for the second time in recent memory here, this quite imposing and impressive longsword has no effect on the man's demeanor.
All right, that's it. Now I'm going to get mad.
Yeah, can I, no, can I step forward before Rook gets involved? I'm just going to walk forward.
Kaitoa, the living construct, right, you are totally in range. Beleg, you've also entered through the door. You're all very close, within 30 feet of each other. Steve, you have managed to circle around this fellow. And as you look at his, brown cloak from the rear, he's got quite a large, sort of a, you'd call it a water droplet-shaped long shield. It is also brown and of quite impressive construction. So you're getting a good look at this well-armored guard. And he is unflinching now as the party all enters. And Katoa, you're coming in with Krizblick.
So I would like to walk up, place my hand on his shoulder, and just give a shake like, no, we're not fighting. And with Krizblick on my shoulder, I'd like to do an intimidation check for the both of us. Because as I believe, the last round I was rolling for Krizblick.
Correct. So, who are you trying to intimidate?
The gentleman in front of Rook.
Okay. And showing that you are with the half-orc. Okay, so roll 2d20, and Krizblick has a +1 to intimidation.
Okay, so Kaitoa got a 19.
Yep.
Krizblick got a nat 20.
Wow.
Intimidating.
All right, yeah. So
Kaito is a 13 plus 6 to intimidation, and Strickland is a nat 20.
Yeah, you and the half orc here, and Beleg beside. I mean, if this was an entrance to intimidate anybody, this is it. And Krizblik kind of senses the moment, and the pulse is racing for you guys, and the tension is now ratcheting up, and Krizblik starts to do her hissing and growling, and she's perched on your shoulder, and you're all heads beside each other in profile, just staring this guy down. And finally, he flinches.
He backs down.
But only to look upstairs towards Shorva's position, where two more identical guards each come down from the west and eastern staircase, and they are now right beside Shorva, and they are now walking down the stairs with heavy footsteps.
Oh, shit. Well, they're Nafri's personal guard, right?
Mm-hmm. The guys that we dodged in the...
As these two form up, these identical guards are all facing you. Steve, you are not at the moment seen by any of these three.
Okay. I'm going to address the three of them again and say, as I've said before, I'm your new quartermaster.
Where is Nafri?
Where is Nafri?
Get out.
Where is Nafri?
Where is Nafri?
Nafri's not here. I'm your new quartermaster. Leave.
There were 9 guards with brown cloaks.
Shorva is now dashing away, and Beleg, that is correct. And you probably want to whisper something to your party. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Should I turn and lock the door? What do you guys think?
I'm going to move towards the stairwell and try and go up the stairs behind the two guards with Shorva. I'm going to try and like walk to the top of the staircase and block that off.
I just look at one of the main guard that keeps asking the question and be like, man, this is the only answer we have. What answer is going to get you out of here?
All right, and Beleg, you would note that as they exclaimed the last time, yeah, this repetitive, where is Nafri? I mean, they were all doing it in unison. You've kept an eye, though, on which one has always been down here first, but yeah. they truly do look identical, these guys. And although their helms cover a lot of their faces and you can see their eyes, there's really nothing to distinguish them between each other. Kaitoa, you said you were looking where Shorva went. She dashed off to what must be the back kitchen, the back entrance, still on the first floor.
No, I was going for the upstairs.
Got it. Okay.
I'm just going to walk right through them and see if they stop me.
Okay.
I'm going upstairs to block that exit or entrance.
Going for the pinch. It sounds like if they're coming from up there, they've already checked and haven't found anything.
Yeah, if they found something, but
nothing else will come down. That's my thing.
Well, I think the power of all the hells are going to come down on these fuckers if smarten up.
Kaitoa, as you cross the distance across the floor here, they are not doing anything. Are you passing right by them?
Yeah, I'm going to try and intentionally push through them a little, not like shove through them, but just walk through them.
Hey, like Rob,
upstairs. Yeah.
If I'm watching from the shadows, can I use my insight to see whether or not these guys, they all seem to be saying the same thing again and again and again. Are they
like, I feel like they're individuals, a mirror, or no, they're a mirror image, and that's why I want to try and push through them to see if they react or I walk through them.
Okay.
Because I believe they're a mirror image.
You would be able to push through, and as you make contact with them, with their shoulders, they are giving way. They are standing just aside enough. They've just taken a pace apart enough for you to go through. They're actually very attentive on where you're going. They are now turning around.
Can I do an arcana on them?
You can, yeah.
Can I... Well, this is going on. I want to turn and close the door to the front
the white chain, and I'm going to lock it.
The door slams shut.
That wasn't good. It was 14 minus 1. So that's a 13.
And you'll now have the, you know, the door closed behind you. Rook and Beleg, who are still standing right there. And Steve, you remain behind this large pillar. This large wooden pillar here. And Kaitoa, they have begun to track you.
Something's weird here.
A little bit. And Beleg, as you creep up on behind him, what'd you roll for Arcana?
13. 14 minus 1.
You're not getting the sense these guys are apparitions or illusions. There doesn't seem to be much magical about them. You can ascertain that with your roll. Yeah.
Cool.
Do I have the attention of all four?
Three.
Three of them. Yeah.
You do at the moment, and Krizblik, as you were dashing up the stairs there, she sort of, you know, fell off a little bit. And now she's facing off against him a little bit. She does not like them encroaching on her territory or something.
Can I do a... I'm going to try and, like, pop out a toot of steam to do a performance, or... Yeah, I would say performance, just to gain attention.
Okay, you're going to blow a toot of steam?
Yeah. Oh, it is a 3.
So what was your intention with that?
I wanted to draw the attention away from Krizblik, because she's in front of me. I wanted them to keep focus on me, and no one else in the room.
I see. Well, you have drawn the attention away from Krizblik, and you hear heavy footsteps behind you. And two more of these brown-cloaked guards appear, each on the stairwells here, coming down from the top. And Kaitoa, you are now seriously encroached upon as you guys all crowd near the concierge's desk here. And there is an echoing amongst the room as 7 of these voices reverberate outwards.
Where is Nafri?
Welcome, friends and adventurers, to The Break. We are happy to announce the 5 winners of the 2K4K Win a Pin Fantasy Enamel Pin Giveaway. Without further ado, allow us to announce the winners. Trigus is the winner of the Just Another Mana Monday pin. That is Trigus 1, none other than the Trigus from the Dice Girls podcast. Number 2, Danny 23077896. You have requested and won Power of the Gods. Beautiful pen. Number 3, Eclectic M Shop. You have requested and won the Potion Pusher pin. Wonderful pen. Number 4, Elena Knight 13 on Twitter. You have requested and secured the Savage Beauty pin. Gorgeous pin. Finally, last but not least, Aaron Zero Tang. You have won the Cavalier Living pin. Congratulations, all winners. You have boosted the Blackguard's numbers far beyond 2,000 Twitter followers and 4,000 total downloads. We are soaring towards new heights. If you are a listener of the podcast, thank you. You are in early on what will surely be a monumentous milestone as we soar towards the next goals, giveaways, and seasons of Dungeons and Blackguards. And now, we return to Dungeons and Blackguards, Season 2, Episode 20. And there is an echoing amongst the room as 7 of these voices reverberate outwards.
Where is Nafri?
Bell, like, while they're paying attention to Kaito, is there any way you can stealthily change back into Nafri and get these fuckers out of here?
Then I have to leave too.
Yeah, can you, like, stealthily go to this beam over here?
Hello, it's me.
As you try to communicate to your friend Beleg there, and you let the word Nafri slip from your orcish lips, can you make a stealth roll, please?
That's a 15.
And half-orc in the noble garb, you seem to have been commanding this rabble from the get-go. The 3 nearest to you who are sort of facing down with Krizblik, they turn around, even though you were not being that loud as you whispered, perhaps an Afri disguise was in order. They whip around. You now have attracted attention with your voice, low as it was.
You guys need to leave. Nafri's not here.
What more do you want?
Yeah, if you don't leave, this will get a lot worse for you.
It'll be trouble.
Trouble. That'll be great trouble.
We will leave with Nafri.
Nafri's not here, so you ain't gonna fucking leave with him.
Krizblik has circled around there now in front of you, Beleg, and Rook. Kaitoa, these 4 begin to push past you. And like you did before, when you were moving through their ranks, they are bustling you about the shoulders, and they are pushing by you.
Can I shove one of them down the stairs?
Yes.
I want to nudge him down the stairs.
This is not strength. This actually is closer to deception, or performance, or sleight of hand, or dex.
Okay. I'll take the group performance.
Have you not done a performance check yet?
I don't think so. No.
Nice.
Not like a group one. I don't know if it's registered, but it would seem like this is a bit of a show.
It's always a show with you, Kenta.
Steve, can you make a stealth check?
Yep.
And this half-orc worker, he has stopped arranging these tables into, you know, nice, neat columns and rows. But as you stalk about the pillars, you've sort of exposed yourself to where he was trying to keep to himself as this very strange game of brinksmanship is going on here. Kaitoa, what have you rolled?
14.
All right, this last fellow here, as he passes you mid-step, you're able to, nudge him off balance. And he's going to go clattering down the stairs. And you probably have a couple seconds to react and you know, do what you want before anybody turns around.
Okay. Of the guys on the stairs, am I tripping the last guy, the 4th, right?
The 4th guy, yeah. And there he goes, rolling down these large stairs.
Bellic laughs. Ha, 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 ha.
I'm going to ready my axe.
Okay.
Can I address the guy or the guard who's been kind of the main one that we first encountered? Can I just address him and say, who told you Nafri was here in the first place?
We were summoned by Nafri himself.
Nafri himself told you that he was here.
Where is Nafri? This building, are you owners?
Yes.
Your guard can barely keep himself afoot. What are you doing here?
Show us all the rooms in this building.
What are you doing here? Who do you want?
We are here for Nafri. We want Nafri. As owners, you must show us every room in your building.
You've already been through every room in this building without us here, and we're the owners. You've already gone through our property without our permission and searched it. You didn't find Nafri because he is not here. We would like you to leave now.
We've
asked you nicely. I'm your quartermaster and I'm telling you this. Please leave now.
They all kind of look upwards, up the staircase, and then back to Kaito on the stairs, Beleg, and you, Rook, who you haven't moved at all. Steve, what was your stealth there, by the way?
It was a 17 plus 6, so 23.
Okay, great. Well, you would notice then that your technique here of being on this side of the pillar is going to slowly be compromised as this half-orc worker tries to kind of move away into your radius here. But yeah, as long as you keep an eye on him, you'll probably not be seen.
Yeah, I slip out of the way.
You have challenged them, Rook, and it does not appear that they are moving because of your command. The one at the bottom of the staircase has now stood up. And
I'm going to tell them to get the fuck out. I've asked you nicely. You guys have turned over the facility without our permission or us being here, looking for Nafri, and you have not found him. Get the fuck out of our facility, and I can do an intimidation on that bad boy.
Okay, as you roll intimidation, rest of the party, what are you doing?
I'm
going upstairs.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to ask them where the other two are.
Okay, so Kaito, you're going to make it upstairs, and we'll cut to you in a moment. But as the big staircase here leads up to the second level, there's a huge balcony and walkway that looks down onto the whole first level. So you won't be out of visual range for really quite a couple of steps, Kaito. Beleg, what was that?
How high am I?
Like, oh, you're about 10 feet? Say 15 to 16 feet when you're at the top of the staircase.
Okay.
I just want to go, I know there are 9 of you. Where are the other two?
Okay, and Rook, what was your intimidation? Beleg, as you question their numbers.
I rolled a 17 plus 3, so 20.
20. They all start to mutter a word together. Suspicious, suspicious, suspicious. And they all seem to form closer together. Krizblik has not backed down at all, and she is really the only thing standing between you, Beleg, and this mob of brown-cloaked, well-armored guards.
Can I yell at Krizblik? And like tell her to like stay on that target and watch.
You can definitely see down there through the wooden railings here, and you could try and make an animal handling.
Oh, yes, I will take it.
Beleg yells at Kaitoa and says, "Get Krizblik to go over to you."
Oh. So I got a 18 plus 1, and I, at last minute, when I'm, like, about to yell at Krizblik, I hear Beleg, and I wave Krizblik on with a 18 plus 1.
You managed to convey this to the badger through an amazing series of, like, little toots.
Here, now. Because me and Krizblik have spent a couple hours.
You got a connection.
Yeah.
Special connection.
I would like to watch what they're doing, but yeah, I'd like to have Krizblik on me.
Okay. As you momentarily distract him, Krizblik is going to... Yeah, like weave past through them. These guys.
Yeah.
And she actually catches one of them on the foot. The same one that you knocked down, and she knocks him down too.
If I had some gorp for you.
You're getting all the best gorps, thanks.
Yeah, you've been rejoined, and like a little black and white bowling ball, she just scurried through these guards. This one guy, though, he stands up immediately again, and they form up into a tight phalanx of 7, and Beleg, you shout there, how many of you are there, and they still now, they're sort of chanting of suspicious. But they do not answer you at all. They now all draw their weapons.
I cast Hunger of Hadar on them.
Is that initiative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would happen in a surprise round. Beleg, you'll surprise them as they were still momentarily unsheathing. Krizblik had sort of caught them off their feet a little bit.
Rob Steve's been waiting for anyone to make an offensive move. As soon as Beleg started casting, daggers start flying.
Because these guys haven't acted, you'll use your advantage on them.
I've just been waiting in the shadows for any kind of offensive notion, either from drawing the swords or, in the case of Beleg, casting the spells, and that's just the cue to throw daggers at the main guy, the first guy we started talking to.
So, I've got my spellcasting focus, which replaces material components.
Okay.
It's somatic and verbal, and just takes one action casting time. So I would point, and I point at them. A 20-foot radius sphere of blackness appears on the point. This void is filled with soft whispers and slurping noises that can be heard up to 30 feet away. No light can illuminate the area, and creatures that are fully in it are blinded. The void's area is difficult terrain, so their movement is halved. Any creature that starts its turn in the area takes 2d6 cold damage. Any creature that ends its turn must succeed on a dex save or take 2d6 acid damage. And it lasts for a minute, so 10 rounds of combat.
Scary stuff. And so what is your spellcasting focus? Is it like an item or...
It's the scar on my finger.
Oh yeah, okay, right. As you cast this thing, there's almost like the wispy apparition of what looks like a little piece of calamari.
Yeah.
And what'd you say the radius was?
Yes, 20-foot radius, so it'd be 40 feet across.
A truly frightening and terrifying blackness, a void from which no light seems to escape. As these slurping and whispering... Steve, are you throwing daggers into this thing? As I'm going to make some rolls for these guys real quick.
Well, if I can't see anything, then I guess it makes it hard for me to throw. If this blackness kind of pops up, then I'm just going to ready until I see... The one in particular that I want is the first one we spoke to. So if I can't see him, I don't think I'm going to throw yet, but I am going to ready as soon as that guy pops into vision. He's eating daggers. So I am skulking and waiting.
Sorry, buddy.
That's okay. Hey, no, this works too. They can't right. really do anything, so they're...
There no. is a... there's a clattering of armor. Actually, a sword now flies out of the darkness. Beleg and Rook, can you make a dexterity saving throw as a sword flies out of the void here? And now there's also a guard creeping from the darkness and the void here towards your direction, Steve?
16.
16. Okay.
That's a 14 for Beleg.
Okay, it goes just in between you guys and buries itself in the back of the door here to the white chain. And now you see towards you, Rook and Beleg, two of the guards creeping out of the darkness. Ah, one of them's being pulled back in. So a couple of you, Kaitoa, can see this happening from above. And then you would also have the darkness slowly receding now, but still a terrible noise, otherworldly, coming from within.
All of them, if they've done a move, all of them will take 2d6 damage.
So they take a further 2d6?
So any creature that starts its turn in the area takes 2d6 cold damage. So anytime, all these guys would be starting their turn in the area. So they'd all take it. And if they're still in there at the end of their turn, they have to make a dex save.
So, Beleg, I'm going to roll for the ones that are still in here? And then how long in rounds, sort of out of combat rounds, would this last? Or how many in combat rounds?
10. Okay. Or no, it's a 6-second round, right? No, so it would be, it's 1 minute, so.
10.
Yeah, 10 okay. rounds.
Well, that'd kill them if they stayed in there too long.
Yep, that's the idea.
3 have crept outside the perimeter of darkness.
Sweet. Do I still get to deal my 2d6 to them?
Yeah.
Do you want me to just roll the 2d6 for all of them for the first?
You roll it for all of them that have spent this first round in there, yeah.
That's a 5 and a 6. So that's 11 damage to the people, to all of them. All 7. And then there's... Ow. 4 of them that are still in there?
Yes, 4 have not been seen by the party. And you guys are pretty much able to, like, Krizblik and Kaitoa there, you're able to monitor all sides of this dark sphere of terror.
Okay, then the 4 that are still in there, then I get to roll another 2d6 on them. And that's a 2 and a 4, so that's 6 damage.
Robin, can I see Krizblik?
I can see the nothing. Yeah, I see Krizblik on the stairway, but I don't see anything on the floor that I used to be able to see.
That exactly. Well, it's good. No, you are, as a player and a character, totally hemmed in and penned in by Beleg's really otherworldly conjuring here. And as it starts to recede, a guard in bad shape here crawls out, and he has all this purple ooze all over him as he seems to have lost his shield and lost his helm as well.
And his will to live.
Yeah, these guys who spent... can you roll a final 2d6, Beleg?
That's a 6. And a 4, so that's another.
Okay. As the darkness recedes, everyone please roll initiative.
Oh, fuck.
19.
Natural 20 for Steve.
Nice.
Classic. That's a 14 for Beleg.
Nice. Rook.
17 for Rook.
Okay, 19, so the darkness recedes. How much for Solas?
19.
Oh, and how much for Krizblik, Kaitoa?
Oh, fuck. Right. A 6.
6. And, sorry,
well,
Steve.
Did
Solas
she get
was
a plus 1?
19 for Solas. Actually, probably more than that, since he's probably got a bonus. But I rolled a 19.
Krizblik is plus 1 to Dex, yeah, so 7.
So he's got a 20, not natural. Steve is natural 20.
Oh, no, natural 20. So Steve, you'll be up first. So is this?
So we add our Dex to the initiative.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I'm a 17 plus 2, so 19.
Okay, so 19 for Kaitoa and 19 for Rook.
Holy shit, it's a lot of 19s.
We'll figure
that
out.
18 plus 1.
I mean, you got 18 plus 1. So, So, Beleg, do you think this has any lasting effect on the floor, on the stairs? What are we seeing here? As you certainly see the body of one of these guards who did not make it.
So the minute's up?
The minute is up. 3 of them have crawled out sort of towards you, Beleg and Rook, but not directly. They are standing up. They are mostly in one piece.
No.
One of them here.
To repelling blast back into it.
One of these guys here is back towards Yukato and Krizblik. Steve, a couple are along your vector.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be any. Maybe a little bit of black residue. Probably a pretty hollow feeling in the room.
There's a roll off, isn't there? Me and Rook, didn't we both get 19 for initiative? I got an 18 plus 1.
I know there's an easy way to decide that. Would you guys want to do roll off, or do you guys want to roll who got the higher natural number?
Doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I would think that whoever's got the higher natural number would get it, right? That's
That'd
what
be
I would
Kaitoa.
Think. Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
All right.
So then it goes Steve, Kaitoa. Okay, perfect. Steve, you're up.
The two guys that are closest to me, they are neither of them are the the main guy, are they?
You're having trouble telling these guys apart, but one of these fellows' helms has fallen off, and he has a strange sort of unmoving face. So the two coming towards you could be distinguished that way. One of them still has his helmet on, the other one does not.
So I failed my stealth? Or?
They are coming out of this, I guess, black disappearing void in your direction. You're hiding behind the chairs? No, I'd say you're still in stealth mode.
Okay. Well, they are going to get attacked. There's a bunch of daggers going their way. So, and then I'm going to Hunter's Mark. So the guy with the unmoving face gets Hunter's Mark put on him. And then I start throwing daggers. First one hits for 17.
That hits.
So that is a 3. That is 18. And then I get the Hunter's Mark. So that is 22 points of damage.
Where are you going for on this target?
Well, if he's not wearing a helmet, any of the soft gribbly bits in his face would work.
Okay, so your 22 damage is directly to this fellow's face, and as you launch these things from behind the nice upholstery now that they're bringing out, as you guys are reopening the white chain, they bury themselves right into his face. And he falls down on the ground, seemingly dead.
Second guy gets a dagger. And that is 18 plus 3. So 21.
Versus AC, that hits.
And that is 19 points of damage.
This fellow is also, although he still has his helmet on, I think you're able to find that spot between the eye slits. And he also falls back, yes, seemingly dead.
Okay, I'm going to shift a few feet up so I can catch this last guy here with my last attack.
Okay, so you're going to move, and yeah, you're just in range. 60
feet.
I'm just
going to get, yeah, just get him in range. And last one goes. Ugh, not so great. That is a 12.
Your daggers here are not going to connect. The range, I guess, is affecting your aim a little bit, and they just managed to miss him.
Sweet. That's it for me.
Okay, so Kaitoa, as you look down on the scene there, you are up, and there's Krizblik kind of right in front of you on the staircase, and this guard staggering upwards, looking real rough.
Kaitoa before Krizblik, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Cool.
Before, can I move the owl to give someone advantage?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Where's Kaito? I can't see Kaito in this.
I'm on the stairway to the south.
Can Stolas see there's Kaito? A guy.
It should be able to.
I'm gonna move Stolas over to this guy. Do the help action.
Okay. So, Belleg and Rook, then the guard closest to you gets a kind of neck and a helmet face full of talons as Stola swoops down. And yeah, Kaitoa, you there on the staircase with Krizblik getting the measuring tape out.
He's 5 feet away and I have 40 feet of movement, so I'm pretty sure I can hear him.
That's combat damage.
Yeah, I'm coming down on him with everything I got. So.
Yeah, and you have the high ground.
Does that give me advantage?
Do you already have advantage on this?
Well, I mean, do I have to use a reckless attack?
You'll have to probably jump over Krizblik, but you can come down with the fearsome surprise chop. Yeah, you roll with advantage, dude.
I would love to jump over this dude and crush him. Because if you'll give me advantage, then I'll take it.
Yeah, advantage on any attack roll.
Oh, I got a 5. And an 18. Sick! I'll take the 18.
Nice. Okay, so as you launch yourself off the stairs, that's going to definitely hit. Are you coming down with your weapon on this guy?
It's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 22.
because you had 12 yeah. plus
yeah.
10?
Oh, yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, you cleave right through this guy's, say, shoulder. You find that nice bit of exposed, non-armored spot, and your axe just cleaves him. And he falls almost in, you know, two pieces on the staircase.
All right. Is there anyone within 5 feet of me?
No adversaries are within your 5-foot radius.
You won't be able to get the Reaping Strike.
Yeah, I can't get the Reaping Strike, but I could at least move to try and deter these two dudes.
Okay, so you're coming crashing down the stairs. You vault over some of this slimy, dark patch on the floor here. And you are rolling up on two of these guards who seem to have fared a little better than some of these were maybe the first couple to emerge. And now we're looking at Rook. You are on deck.
Right. So, yes, I'm going to go right on the guy in front of me. And I'm going to use this freshly sharpened Bergen's blade on this son of a beach.
Long soul.
Yeah. I've got my duel coming up too, right? But if I get a short rest, then I should be okay. So, yeah, I'm going to use my my Crimson Rite. I'm going to infuse that in the Bergen's Blade here. So I'm going to automatically take 5 off my hit. And then that knocks me down to -5 on my overall hit points, which is 49. So that'll bring me to 44 temporarily. And then I'm going to mark this Beesnatch here, too.
This guy closest to you is whom you're marking?
That is correct. So that is a 16.
Because you're going up and melee attacking?
Yeah.
16 hits.
Yeah. Huzzah. So I'm going to roll my 1d8 here. I'm using two-handed.
Sweet.
So...
And you said plus 1d4 Crimson Rite damage?
For Crimson Rite, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Crimson Rite is 1d4, and then it's doubled because it's a blood, because I marked them with my Curse of the Marked. So that bad boy.
So 2d4?
Yeah, so it'll double the damage of the Crimson Rite. 3, so 5. And then on the Crimson Rite, I rolled a 4, so that'll be 8. So that'll give me a 14, or a 13.
Total?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Like a strike, a thrust? I'll tell you, you're going right through this guy.
I'd be striking kind of left, right to left, kind of overhand, coming down from his right shoulder to his left hip.
Oh, yikes. Well, just like the fellow here, Kaitoa, left in almost two pieces. You cut right through that same kind of shoulder spot between some armor pieces, and your Bergen's blade, your long sword here, freshly sharpened by Kaitoa, is just slicing through faster than you could believe. And before you know it, this guy is on the ground.
Dead or no?
Expired. For all intents and purposes.
Perfect. So my other thing, can I move the extra, or another, I guess, whatever, 11 feet to this guy in front of me and make another attack? Use my second attack on buddy right now.
The next closest guy. Okay, still with long sword in hand, roll against AC. And you've happened upon these two guys who Kaitoa you got within, like, feet of after coming down the staircase, yeah.
So that's a 19 plus 6, so 25.
This hits as you draw again the Bergen's blade aloft and deal damage.
So for the sword, it's a 5 plus 3, so that's an 8. A Crimson Rite is a 3, so 11 total.
This adversary here, you've probably pierced him and kind of forced him back to the ground just as he was standing up on his knees. It doesn't look like he has expired. He's still kind of moving on your blade, but your blade is almost kind of stuck in his side section. Anything else in your move?
Can I pull my blade out of this side section?
You could. Let's see. You moved and that. Would that be your bonus action?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay,
I
mean, put a foot against this guy and maybe roll strength.
Oh, yes, I love strength. Ooh, yeah. That bad boy there is an 18 plus 3, 21.
All right, okay, now you're able to rip your long sword back out. And there's a huge gaping hole onto Beleg.
Finish him. Finish him.
Yeah. All right. I am going to... I'm going to Eldritch Blast both of them because I can do that now. At level 5, I get to shoot 2 Eldritch Blasts at the same time.
Oh, nice.
And, right, so I roll 2 attack rolls. All right, no, I guess it'd just be 1 attack roll, but for 2 beams. Right. So that is a 14 plus... that's a 14 plus 6, so that's a 20.
Yeah, your Eldritch Blasts are going to find its mark and hit.
All right, so it's going to do D10 damage to each of them. Oh, and that is 9 damage to each of them, and it'll push both of them back right into a attack of opportunity for Kaitoa.
Okay, well, the first guy here, the rook just kind of pushed back with the heel of his foot and withdrew Bergen's blade from, is now blown back by your eerie, concussive Eldritch Blast. And he does not even make it to Kaitoa as he crumples and disintegrates along the way.
Nice. Mid-air. Well, this other guy gets alley-ooped pretty fucking hard.
This other fellow here, you said goes back as much as, 10 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, blown right against the banister of the grand staircase, and he smashes his spine against the pillar.
And I think it should work that Kaitoa gets an attack of opportunity by pushing him back in there, right?
Especially because I think it's the Krizblik and Kaitoa connection up next.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. Yeah, well, Krizblik is up next. But are you saying, Beleg, would he get an out-of-turn opportunity attack on the other guy that flew past him?
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. Because he's going through his...
For 5 feet. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so, yeah, Kaitoa, take a swing.
Alley-oop.
Can I take an inspiration?
sure.
I have one left. I'm going to take it.
Roll again.
Okay.
Make it count.
Okay, I got a 9 plus 6, 15.
You are unable to correct your swing on this guy. So unfortunately, the velocity, the sheer velocity of this character as he passes you and bashes into the banister, you are unable to further damage him. But I bet if you had, it would have been like cleaving a piece of fruit midair. It would have been awesome.
Do I get a bonus attack?
I'm afraid not, as Beleg's beautiful alley-oop didn't go unpunished, however... As regardless, this fellow here seems to have expired as he slumps against the banister. Krizblik is looking furiously around for something to latch onto and attack. And as she comes up, she grabs onto a bloody helm here that must surely, you know, be filled with goo and entrails, and she picks up the helmet in her teeth and brings it back to you, Kaitoa, like a very obedient badger, battle badger. Can everybody roll a perception?
Ooh, classic Beleg.
I guess that's it, eh?
Well, you killed them all.
Yeah, that's it. I got,
I rolled a 4 plus 1.
Yeah, I got a 4.
Okay. 11.
Ooh. 11. Okay.
So, was it perception that we're rolling?
Perception.
Okay.
Steve, are you still amongst the, what would you call it, the preparations for restauranting amongst the tables and the stacked chairs?
Well, I guess I think since I murked those two dudes, so.
You moved up a little bit, but you're over there. Okay, and what did you roll, bud?
17 altogether.
Okay. Well, then, Rook, you would come up and notice that as Krizblik passes the helm to Kaitoa.
I hacky sack it to Beleg. Beleg kicks it up in the air, and fucking Rook catches it.
That's exactly how it happened.
You guys hacky sack this helm, and Rook, he catches it. He balances it on the end of Bergen's blade.
Nice.
And you look at it curiously, Rook. There is no sign of, like, blood and sort of what you'd expect, especially from the one that Kaitoa, cleaved. I mean, Steve, you now also look at those foes that you brought down first. Two of them begin to stand up. And the very first one that you took down, Steve, and the second one that you took down stand up. And the first one, Steve, stands up with that dagger right through his face, unmoving.
I feel that crap too.
Oh, fuck.
And that is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.